Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, is Tell Del Tuesday, and we have something unique today. We have a family here that is going to share their story with you, but we're not going to disclose who they are. And say, well, that means it could be anybody. It may not be a true story. I guarantee you, they're real people. It's a real story. And so we are keeping them incognito in the LUI, Investor Protection Plan. What does that mean? That means there are people out there that have decided to get rich and or retire, whatever the goal is from their investing, that cannot talk about their investments. Because of where they work and how they might be ridiculed and or even punished for investing. Today's particular family that's going to be here, John Doe and Jane Doe, the husband works for 30 years in the world of finance and accounting and IT, financial systems and reporting. So these are people, this is companies that are all about finances. And to think that someone's thinking outside of their box and going out and trying to make something happen for themselves in the world is just not a good thing. I mean, there are companies, and I've seen them, I've had to work around them for 34 years helping people, that just don't want their employees having a side gig. They are threatened by it, I guess is the way to say it. So without saying any more, we've got someone here today, and let's see if I can pick out some details here that we want to share with you, that has, I think it was 1,000. I should have highlighted that. We'll get to it. It's like over 1,000 doors and 1,500 doors, and he's bought into 16 different apartment complexes, and all of that in just 1 year. So it's quite a story. I really wanted to get the story out, even though they really weren't in a position to be able to share it. Now, I will tell you this. I'm going to be in Virginia in September. I'll get the date for you before we get out of here today. And he has agreed with three or four other people to come out and do a case study live. So you will get to meet him if you come to this case study that we have in Virginia. But for right now, we'll go ahead and introduce you, John Doe and Jane Doe. And welcome to the show, guys.
Hello, Del. How are you today?
Very good. Does it feel like witness protection here?
Absolutely.
All right. Where do you want to start your story at? You came to this country as a young adult. Where do you want to pick it up at?
We came to this country a long time ago, probably 3 decades ago, from a European country. And basically, we came chasing the American dream, I guess. And I have to say, so far, so good. We did make the right move, I guess. I don't know what my wife thinks.
We did come. We didn't know what to expect. We started slow. The family grew slowly, much slower than I was hoping for. But we are where we are, and we are ready for the next stage.
So I have a question directly from this point, and that is, in America, as I grew up and 99% of the other people grew up, we were given this mantra, go to school, get a good education, get a job, go to work, work from age 25, 29, whatever you start working, to age 65 or 70, and then you hopefully save that whole time putting money in your 401k. And save up enough money that you can retire and live off a pile of money. That was the dream, the American dream, as you call it. Although I see people coming from other countries, they have a different American dream, which is to become entrepreneurial. What was the dream given to you when you were young kids, and how did the American dream fit into that?
I can say that one thing I've remembered from my early childhood. My father always used to say to me and my brother, he worked in a factory. He was like electrician and telecom maintenance guy. And he used to tell us, hey, you should go to school and get a better job than I have so that you don't have to work as hard as I do. So that's what I remember. And then basically the government takes care of you after you retire.
Okay. So what age did he work till, do you know?
He retired actually pretty early when there was some economic restructuring, and at some point they gave him, like, I don't know, company stocks, and he didn't know what to do because he's worked all of his life. And my brother just smirked at him and said, you should sell all of that, take the money and retire and enjoy life. And he did that at the age of 60, I think 62. He is now 87 and takes care of my mom.
Wow. That's longevity right there. That's great. All right. So that was your background. Let's talk about, you came to the U.S. and what did you do once you got here?
When I got here, I used to run a small deli, small business, breakfast, lunch, worked a flat top grill. Never mind the fact that I have a bunch of master's degrees, but I wanted to get to know people. Retail is a good experience always. And then I found a corporate job 6-8 months after that and started doing finance-related work, financial reporting analysis, accounting stuff. And basically, that's what I've been doing for about 30 years now.
Did Jane Doe work? Jane, how about you? Did you work or just stay-at-home mom?
I wish. Yeah. When I came to this country, we actually came separately, although we knew each other because we didn't know where we would land. I came as a nanny and worked a couple of years, even though I had a master's degree in education. And after that, it was whatever I could find, starting in the administrative field, and then learning on the job from there. I did a bunch of different things like web design, graphic design, and I'm now basically in quality assurance in the healthcare field. But what I found out early enough is that if I want to be a stay-at-home mom, we cannot support the family just with his salary, even though he was working two jobs at times. And so I became a consultant. I started consulting for the companies that would hire a consultant, even though without benefits, and that allowed me to take care of my family.
Gotcha. A little more freedom that way. I was going to ask you to share with us when you started becoming uncomfortable and wanting to look for options other than working the rest of your life.
I always wanted, intuitively, I understood that money meant more than luxury items. To me, money meant more personal freedom. And I just didn't have it. I don't know what to say, that crisp. And when COVID came, we live in a wooded area. I started taking those long walks, and I was browsing through various radio stations. And believe it or not, I don't remember what I was listening. I think it was Dave Ramsey, and you came after. And it all made too much sense. And I found out that you really put in words what I've always believed, that is that money gives you that freedom. Working in corporate America, God, Dale, I don't know. I've been restructured 4 or 5 times. And after the first couple of times, you kind of become numb and cynical. And I quickly learned that this is not the way. So I always wanted to do something to free myself up. But that's at least for me.
Jane, how about you? When did you start feeling uncomfortable and want to do something different?
I was really shaken up by the COVID pandemic and the fact that we didn't have to necessarily, but people were gladly and deciding to lock themselves in, lock their children in without any freedom to even go out and play. School was closed. So on good days, why not have the family go out and do something? But people just froze their brains, I guess, and stopped thinking rationally. And when my son was roaming with his bike outside, there was nobody to play with. And I was making those walks with my husband. We were walking together, and he was listening to different things and telling me about it. And that's how I learned about your show, through him. And he was quoting you on this and that. And I was like, you're quoting people all the time. What's with this? What's the big deal? So, but being free to be outside and to do whatever you want because everything was locked up, and at the same time having the mindset to lock yourself at home, that shook me. And that told me that the society is not okay. And if we are not able to basically do what we always do, like go to work, go to the store, meet with friends, have birthday celebrations, we are getting sick, we are going to get sick. Physically and mentally. So that was something that kind of was a point where I thought something's wrong. And we have not had enough people to establish friendships with. Most of things were through kids at school, moms and dads, going to birthday parties or back to school nights. But a lot of people in this area seem to be close-minded, and that was bothering me.
Okay. Well, that isn't the case in Lifestyles Unlimited. And so as we go to break here, I'm going to summarize some of what you said, John and Jane. You both kind of came up with the same thing, that it's not the money, it's the lifestyle, and the money creates what this thing called freedom, John pointed out, and I call it financial freedom. The ability to do what you want, when you want, with whomever you want. And Jane, as you're pointing out, that the, you know, people are pretty closed-minded and they're very closed up to other people. And so when we come back at Lifestyles, we're going to talk about how open the Lifestyles society is and the types of people that join Lifestyles and how much they're willing to share and how many internal friendships get made in this group, which is an amazing thing. So we'll take a short break. We'll be back with John and Jane Doe, who, remember, have 1,696 units and only in 1 year. So we'll be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Lifestyles Unlimited member Lisa, on how our educators and mentors share their knowledge.
The whole Lifestyles Unlimited team is just wonderful, and all the people in it is basically copying what I do so you could be successful.
Lifestyles Unlimited, over 33 years teaching the real estate retirement roadmap. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297 and save 60%. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is John and Jane Doe. What does that mean? That means this very successful investment family who has 16 apartment deals with 1,696 units all since 2023 doesn't want their boss to know that they're becoming financially free. And so we are keeping them incognito in the LUI, Investor Protection Plan. And they're going by John and Jane Doe today. I want to bring you back under this. At this point, you decided to look into it. You heard us on the radio. You came down. I assume you went to the two-day to start. Did you go together or just one of you?
We went together. Actually, we took the two-hour I would say preview,
yeah.
And then we immediately signed up for the two-day, which we attended online in four parts with Greg Scott, who is an absolutely fun guy, another disenchanted corporate employee, I must say, very successful, and yet he looked out for something else, and that really struck a chord with us.
Okay. So, unfortunately, doing it on the internet and the four part like that, which works for a lot of people, you miss the camaraderie of being in the closed group of people for 2 days together. I mean, where we build bonds and we get to know each other personally. We share a lot of personal information. I'm going to step that back and we'll come back to that because I'm sure you've done some other events since then. Tell me what your aha moments were in the two-day class, which is the four-part class that you guys took. We teach it Saturday and Sunday, two parts. They took it in a four-part presentation where you do, you know, one quarter of the class each of 4 days at night. What were the aha moments for you guys? Where the light bulb went on and said, boom, that's what I've been missing. That's the secret that we didn't have. And I don't know if secret's not the right word for it. That's the piece of information that was missing in my plan in life. What did you hear?
I can say that for me, the aha moment was the fact or the part of the class where Greg asked everyone to calculate their return on net worth. I kind of knew that this is very low. Not only the return was negligible, but you really can't get your hands onto anything that's into an IRA. Or a 401k, as you say, Val, you can't pay the bills, you can't buy groceries. And for me, this was just mind-blowing along with the six ways you can make money in real estate. And, of course, the whole depreciation concept. You can't get this in the stock market. So for me, this was a no-brainer. Buying the preferred investor group membership.
When you took it, being that you do have accounting background for you, what you do, did the numbers jump out at you, how obvious it was once you saw the information from a different point of view?
Oh, absolutely. I didn't even know that these things like real estate syndications existed where you can really just allocate the capital. And actually, we signed up another deal this past week, so we're now up to 17. And we haven't gone into every single deal that came down the pike. We probably look at, I don't know, 40-plus deals. And of those, we chose the ones that fit our criteria or our goals.
Jane, how about you? Was there something different that stuck out to you? Or
I was always taught by my parents that whatever you have to be happy with it because there are people who have a lot less. When I was listening to the two-day, I had to take a lot of notes. It's still a learning curve for me. But what struck me was that I, for myself, was afraid, it seemed, and this was a revelation to me, to reach for more, for better, I was in a box as if, and I couldn't get out of it. I thought, okay, we will probably retire sometime, but I never thought that it could happen in a week or, well, in a year or two. And when Greg was talking about retirement, I was, what is he talking about? I'm not looking at this for the next 10, 15, 20 years, maybe. And when he was showing the numbers and how you can do it, I was completely struck. It was not something that I have ever thought about.
So Jane and John also, when you went to this thing and you had this realization that retirement was not a pile of money that you would work up to until you're, you know, 65, 70 years of age, that retirement was literally something that you could put together a plan. You could create the passive streams of income and retire. That became an epiphany that most people don't get. And Jane, I also feel a little bit of that pain of, do I really deserve to be rich? Do I really deserve to not have to work the rest of my life? Which is an interesting concept also. So as we go back into this, John, where did you decide to get started? Because you got 16 apartment deals. They're all passive. You still got your job. Your wife's got your job. You got 1,696 apartment doors that you own. What was your plan when you came out of the blocks here?
The plan, Bill, was that I would sign up for the PIG. We signed, and then the plan was to initially get in the first year at about 10 deals just to try things out. But as you know, what happened with the interest rates, they shot up so quickly. And as you've been saying on the radio, the deal just started rolling in. And some of the deals retraded down by a million, million and a half. And these were too hard to pass on. So I did get into those deals, signed them up. And then I had a sticky on the wall with our living expenses. And I figured that if we could start generating that passive income for our basic living expenses, then we could get to that level of financial freedom. We don't have any kind of a luxurious life. We try to do the best by the kids on two times, sometimes three times on vacation. But the plan was just to try things out and finance it about 10 deals. But then as the deals kept coming in, we continued to put money in. So that's what happened.
So it went faster. You're kind of, there's a little bit of luck to play that you missed the 2021 to 2022 disaster year, and you got in on the other side of it. So you've got now 16 deals. You plan to keep buying. In your resume here, your talking points, you said that you anticipated the stuff you've already bought and the stuff you anticipate buying this year. By 2025, the cash flows that are predicted on these PPMs, which is the private placement memorandums explaining what the deal and the business model was, that these PPMs are predicting that you will be earning enough cash flow to replace one, or was it both of your incomes? I think I don't remember which one you said.
I think what I said was that I'm going to replace with the current deals my paychecks after taxes.
John, have you guys had an opportunity to do any live events? Because you took the 2-day online. Have you been to any live events yet?
Yes, and to your point, Dell, about the camaraderie, we regularly attend the meetups with our ambassadors on this side of the pond, Gary and Judy Small. We have great meetups. And we also went to the Midwest Summit in Kansas City. Great people, great barbecue. It's just, we had a blast. Very, very good event. It kind of touch and feel, smell the smell of fresh paint. We met the local leads there, Justin and Colton Bennett, father and son, now in the business of running multifamily deals.
So were you surprised, Jane, because you brought this up earlier, that there just wasn't a lot of friends available to you in the real world? And people, joke, both of you, Del, why did you start Lifestyles? I said, well, when you retire at 34 years of age, there's nobody to play with because everybody's going to work every day, all day long, and you're not. And so I said, you know, I had to create some successfully retired friends so they had people to do stuff with. What I'm getting at is, and I want to get Jane's opinion on this, is that here in Houston, we've been here 34 years, just almost all of our friends end up being Lifestyles members. And one's because we're all doing the same thing, but two, it's an open environment. Jane, were you surprised how open people were with their finances and their business models and their family issues and everything?
Yes, and this is a great draw for me because I'm looking at the future. My husband and I will finally have a group of people that are open-minded, warm, kind, sharing, and have the same goals as we now do. Rather, our goals are the same as theirs. And we also would like, and this is a goal of mine, to teach our kids a new way of thinking, maybe very different from what we taught them until this point in time, and just give them a future that we didn't have because we didn't know.
You know, it's excellent because I just put pen to paper yesterday with my team. And next year, we are going to start a children's summit program, start teaching kids finances early on in life. And we have different levels for different age groups, obviously. But that's going to be a part of the membership for you guys. I think that will help a lot. And the only thing you're going to find is your kids are going to start telling you, do you think you're wasting money? That was one of the things that came up is the people that have their kids in this program, the kids start bringing up the points to the parents. Hey, when are we going to buy our next rent house? Or when are we going to buy our next deal? You get them involved. So, John, have you started getting your kids involved yet, or how old are they?
Yes. Our son, who's not 19 yet or 18, is part of the PIG program. And we had given him mandate to complete the passive certification. He's taken a listen to a few webinars. So he is on his way. I think it takes time to sink in. But hearing that there will be a special program, that's fantastic because, Del, as you know, your kids don't listen to you. So.
Absolutely. They'll listen to anybody else but the parents in most cases. But what they do is they do watch you. And if what you do makes you happy and successful, they will follow it. If what you do, if you're telling them, go get a job, work hard, save your money, and do that until you're 70, and they see you're miserable, then they're going to pick up, nah, I'm going to look for something else. You know, it's just, they're that smart. I mean, I think everybody's that smart when you're young. It's just somehow you get socialized into not being that smart and start believing that you got to do all that, you know, rat race stuff, you know, cubicle, work for the rest of your life stuff. That's something you just kind of get ground into you by the time you get to be a certain age. Let me go ahead and just say this. I thank you very much for coming on today. I know that this has been kind of fun with the John Doe and Jane Doe bit. But everybody out there, I want you to understand that these are real people. John and Jane, thank you very much for being on the show and sharing your story. The rest of you out there, remember this. It's not just about making money. It's not having more money in your 401k. It's about a completely different lifestyle, a quality of life that you can only get to when you change the way you process your life. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.